For the next 2 weeks here at Bowen, we are pausing our normally scheduled preaching plan. I'm still going to preach the whole book of 1 Corinthians this year. We'll just have to catch up and figure that out at the end, later on. And that's not a big deal. We can do that. But while I was looking for some artwork about fear and worry, and I went over to lifechurchtv.tv, which is a great church, and they have all their resources online to share with other churches. So I found this artwork of Not Afraid, and I thought this was great. And then I started listening to Craig Groeschel. He's a preacher there. He started listening to a sermon, and I'm like, man, that's really good. So this morning, my message will be influenced by his message, which is fine because nothing's new under the sun, right? But we will be influenced by the words of Jesus as written down by John in John 14:27, which says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." As you know, we are in some weird, scary, turbulent times right now. I mean, that's just the way it is, right? Coronavirus is spreading. As of this morning, there was 123,000 cases in the United States, 2,300 deaths, and they've got a bunch. I read this morning they got some testing figured out where now they'll be able to do a lot of tests very quickly. So expect to see those number of cases jump up huge this week, not because we're doing anything wrong, but because there's more tests. So anyway, that's a huge number. Oh, and the stock market has been dropping. I don't know if you're aware of that. People's basically lives are being wiped out with just a drop in the stock market. It is, on February 12th, the high for the year was about $30,000 for the stock market, for the Dow Jones. Just this week, that level dropped below 18,000. That is a huge, that's like 60% of what it was in February. Now, I'm hopeful, and I believe that all bounced back, but the point is, people are panicking a little bit. People are pretty nervous, and I understand that. People are panicking, and because of that, they're hoarding basic necessities like food and toilet paper and all those other things that people are making a run on. I don't get the toilet paper, but whatever, right? So the question posed by many of us is, and the question posed by Christians all over is, what should we do? What should we do? You know, on one hand, you have the people that are way over here, and they're like, hey, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's a cold. It's a sickness. It's no big deal. It's all mass hype and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's no big deal. And in fact, I'm going to go out more just to prove how not a big deal it is. Right? That's the one type of person. And then on the other hand, you have this type of person over here that is like, oh no, the world is going to end. This is horrible. Like, we're going to have zombies walking around. Like, it's going to be a huge, huge cataclysmic end of the world. It's coming. You know, we got those people. And you're like, what is the right attitude to have? What is the right? I think obviously you guys probably know this, but it's got to be probably somewhere in the middle. But have you seen the show Doomsday Preppers? That was a show. I forget, it was on National Geographic or AMC or something. Anyway, it's a reality show about these guys, these families that basically were preparing for the end of the world. You know, they're preparing for zombie apocalypses. They're preparing for, you know, what if somebody comes in and just destroys the United States, and we have to fight for ourselves, and blah, 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 we have to fend, and there's no food. And there's so one of these shows I was watching, right, it was this house, and they had an underground bunker, right, which is, you know, that's kind of like a necessity with doomsday prepper people. So they had this underground bunker, and they had a swimming pool. And the swimming pool, they were like, okay, we got this. We got this idea. They built a huge chicken coop over the swimming pool. The swimming pool then, like, so they had eggs, and then they had meat. That was going to be their eggs and meat, right? And then the droppings of the chickens, if you can get what I'm saying there, they would fall into the water, which would feed fish that they have stocked their swimming pool with, so that the fish would have something to eat. And then it was just this thing, like, we can have fish, we can, I mean, that is how like prepared some of these people are. And I don't think that we need to go out and do that, obviously. I don't think that we need to be so flippant either and say, well, fine, I'm just going to go out more to prove to the whole world that I'm brave, right? It shouldn't be either of those. And I don't pretend to be an expert. And ultimately, I don't know where this is going to go. But I'll try to speak from a faith perspective. A stance of faith. Craig said, what we need to try and remember to do when we are facing a crisis that can be a personal crisis, a community crisis, a national or global crisis, when we are looking at crisis, he said, what I try and remember is that in times of crisis and panic, it is best not to project out into the future. So you tell yourself, I'm not going to make any long-term and permanent decisions today. That's not what I'm going to do. When we're in the middle of a crisis, it's never the time to make long-term plans, right? Have you ever watched any medical shows? There's one I like a lot called The Good Doctor. And of course, this is made for TV, so the drama and the crises, you get it. They're always off the scale, you know. They're always off the charts. There's some accident. There's some crazy situation that has happened. There's some case that is just unexplainable. And what I've always noticed is that the good doctors, that the ones that are worth their salt, they make decisions based on having all the information that they can get their hands on. And usually they're missing some detail that they don't get to almost the end of the show, and it's that detail that makes everything work right. But they make decisions based on the information that they have and then are willing to change and adapt when new information comes in, which is, I think, is really good for us to keep in mind as we kind of wade through this national global crisis that we have right now. So when in crisis, it's best not to make long-term decisions, but rather it's best to make wise decisions based on what we know today for right now. And I think that's just wise for anyone, anywhere, no matter what the situation. Now for Christians, for disciples of Jesus, for you and for me, that the filter that forms our decisions should be different. We have to have a different filter. And why is our filter different? Well, the first reason is because we are not of this world. John 17, 15 through 18, Jesus is praying for his current disciples and the future disciples, which is you and me. He says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is true. Which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. That's why we have a different filter. And the second reason why we have a different filter is because we are not to be conformed to this world. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior or customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. You will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, that is why we have a different filter than everybody else. Because we see things through godly eyes. We see things through the eyes of Jesus. And so ultimately, we are not to be like the rest of the world. We are to be different. So I'm just this morning quickly, I'm going to give you three ways that we are not like this world. The first one is that we live by faith, not fear. When Jesus was comforting his disciples in John 14, and that the whole chapter 14 of John is Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus praying for his disciples. But he says this, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," in verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me." Then it is later on in verse 27 where he says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." It's the words of Jesus. Isn't that comforting? Right now it is to me. Right now it is to me. As Christians, like Paul told us in Philippians 4:7, he said, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." We are supposed to have a peace that goes beyond all human understanding. People are supposed to wonder why we are so peaceful, why we seem like, even in the midst of turmoil and it seems like the world is falling down around us, we have peace. And people should be wondering that about you. So Craig had these thoughts about God, which I thought were good for us to remember through all of this. And that's this. Listen, God's not sitting in heaven thinking, "Man, I didn't see this thing coming." Right? That is never a thought with God. Another thing is that our God is faithful. He is in control. Our God is in control of every single thing. He made us. He formed us. He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. He is faithful. He always keeps his promises. He's in control. Also, God is good. And our God has a plan. You know, from the very beginning, God's plan was Jesus. And after Jesus left the earth, now God's plan is the church. He has a plan. God, He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. That was a promise that Jesus gave, and it's true today. God is here. He is in our midst. And lastly, God is working in all things. God is working in all things. We may not see it. We may not, in the heat of the moment, we may not understand how God is working, but trust me, God works all things out to the good of those who love Him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So God's beloved, which is all of you out there in cyberland, let's be different. We are not panicking, but instead we have peace. We are not fearful, but we have faith. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." Let's live by faith. Let's have faith. Let's trust that God has us right where He wants us. The second way that we are not like the world is that we are sacrificial, not selfish. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You know, during the early church, they faced extreme persecution. Extreme persecution. They lost their lives. They were thrown into jail. They were beaten. They were crucified. All this for their faith. And what didn't you see? You didn't see first century Christians running out hoarding goods, right? They weren't rushing to the Jerusalem Walmart to grab some emergency supplies, right? That's not how their attitude was. Church, we are the body of Christ. We put others ahead of ourselves. Remember this from the book of Acts, Acts 2, 44 to 46. It says, and all believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Listen, this is a time when people will skip church and play it safe. Obviously, for right now, there's no way to know if you were at church or not, right? Which I think is great because we never attend church anyway. We are the church. The church isn't somewhere you go to. Church is something you are. So can I beg of you to please be the church in this time, however long it is. Find ways to love your neighbors, your community, your family. Display your faith every day. Show the love of Jesus constantly. As a family, pray together. Listen, you're not going to hell if you miss church, all right? If you skip this video, you skip this live stream, you're not like, oh, God's like, oh, that's it, he's done, right? You're not going to be smited if you don't watch church service on Facebook or YouTube. But hear this, please. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop seeking God. Don't stop being a beacon of hope and light to a world that desperately needs it, especially now. There are a lot of people looking for hope. And with all my heart, I believe God will use this time for good. Turn to Jesus. So one, we live by faith, not by fear. Two, we are sacrificial, not selfish. And three, we shine the light, we do not hide it. Matthew 5, 14 to 16 says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I've been reading, rereading. I've read this book many times, actually. Rereading this book, The Fellowship of the Ring. It's the first of the trilogy of The Lord of the Rings. And there's a graphic that I was going to show you. I thought this quote was amazing. I thought this quote was really fitting for where we are today. And it's this. Frodo and Gandalf are talking. Frodo is a little... called a halfling, right? He's a hobbit, and Gandalf is the great white wizard, right? And so anyway, here's what it says. I wish it need not have happened in my time, said Frodo. So do I, said Gandalf, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to do is decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. During this time, people are afraid, people are unsettled, people are anxious, they're worried about their health, They're worried about their finances. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about all of it. And the world is looking for a little hope. Friends, we are hope. In fact, we are hope dealers. During this time when people are afraid and when they're unsettled and anxious, they're looking for hope, and we become hope dealers. We become light shiners. We become love givers. I'm hoping and praying that His church can be more contagious than any virus. I am hoping that our lives can be way more contagious than any sickness, any disease, any bad attitude. I am hoping that we can spread hope, that we can spread love, and that we can spread life in Jesus. I hope that. I'm praying for that. Church, do we have good news? Yes, we have good news. We absolutely have good news. We have the best news ever given, ever reported. We are saved by grace and not by works. We are justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of law. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but He appointed us to receive salvation in Jesus. Hopefully someone out there gave me an amen. Amen. Thanks, Jody. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Corinthians 4:7 through 9. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed. Listen to this. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. That's why we are not afraid. We have hope. We have a God that loves us and a Savior that gave it all for us. If He is for us, who can stand against us? My daughter has watched Frozen 2. 37 times, I think. I mean, it's a lot, right? She's got every single line memorized, right? And there's a song that I'm going to steal from the theologian Anna, right? There's a song that I think perfectly says what we should be doing. The lyrics of the song is this: you are lost, hope is gone, but you must go on. Now listen to this. And do the next right thing. Church, we have to do the next right thing. If you don't know what's happening, if you're lost, if you feel like there's no hope, do the next right thing. Whatever that is. Check on your neighbor. Mow somebody's yard. I don't know. Do something. Do the next right thing. Do the next good thing. Because we are beacons of light. We are hope dealers. And we get to bring hope to a world that is dark and needs it. And especially now in this time of uncertainty and crisis. Be hope dealers. Do the next right thing. And here's the deal. Here's where the theologian Anna and I break. You are lost, hope is gone. But there was a man that came for us. And He gave us life. And He found us. And He gave us hope. And His name is Jesus. Church, I don't know what Easter is going to look like this year. It's going to be different. But I know this, we are still going to praise Him for that sacrifice. And then that a couple days later, He kicked the door down to death and destruction, and damnation. And he gave us life. And he gave us life eternally. That is why we have hope. That is why we can be different. That is why we can hold the beacon of light out in a dark, dark, dark time. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our reason for all good things. We love him. And my hope and my prayer is that in this time of uncertainty and fear, that we can grab onto Jesus and know that he's got us.